Halloween has become almost synonymous with candy in the U.S., with kids in costumes eager to collect a sweet trick-or-treating haul. But how do our brains know when to stop eating all the chocolate and chewy treats that are so abundant this time of year? This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're going to talk with a doctor who can explain the brain science behind our cravings and a journalist who can speak to consumer candy trends. Joining me now are UC Health's Osher Center for Integrative Health Medical Director, Dr. Mladen Golubic. Welcome, Dr. Golubic.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
And Candy Industry Magazine Senior Editor, Liz Parker-Kuhn. Thanks for being here, Liz.
Thanks. Excited to talk with you guys.
UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Liz, how big is the candy business in the United States?
So according to the National Confectioners Association, last year it was a $6.4 billion industry, and they're expecting a 3 to 5% increase this year.
Oh my gosh. And is that just Halloween candy or is that candy all year round?
I believe that's just Halloween candy. Yep.
Wow. And then you said those Halloween candy sales have been growing?
Yeah. Sales are always growing. It's interesting, though, because we seem to be moving more towards like gummies and things like that versus chocolate. But it's definitely always growing.
Dr. Golubic, how does all this candy affect our brains when we're eating it?
Well, first of all, it affects our whole body, and brain is just one main organ affected. So when we ingest the candy, we get basically sugar that is free of other nutrients and that promotes our body to secrete insulin, which is a hormone that brings blood sugar down. And insulin has one side effect that we don't like, and that's causing inflammation. And it can lead to neuroinflammation in the brain. Yeah? So initially what happens when we ingest the large amounts of simple sugars is we feel good, our mood is good, our energy is good. And then as rapidly as this happens, we kind of go into the opposite direction, and that's we hit low because it's such a rapid response in the body and the body struggles to adjust to that because we took the sugar without other nutrients, without fiber, without minerals and other nutrients. So that has the consequence for our brain function. When you are shifting constantly between ups and downs, it's hard to keep the focus. And of course, rapid decrease leads to more release of the hunger hormone. And we go and get another candy.
So that instant kind of boost that you get from candy, is that, I know a lot of parents worry about their kids getting a sugar high. Is that what that is? Or is a sugar high a myth?
Well, that's how it feels. You know, people would report that they feel better. Even their pain would be relieved, you know, if they suddenly get it. And it has a strong evolutionary component when you think that most of our body is powered by glucose, by simple sugar. And throughout the evolution, we were able to get this from fruits. And the only other pure sugar was, honey from wild bees that was not easy to get. Yeah. And brain is the major user of energy. And so we really love sugar. We are wired to love sugar. But it makes a big difference if that sugar is coming from, prepackaged, rich in nutrients, fruits, and other foods, or is just coming purified as it comes in candy most of the time.
Yeah. So, Dr. Golubic, when it comes to candy, how does our brain know when to stop? Because I'm not sure my brain does know when to stop.
Well, the challenge with this is a very good point. You know, the challenge, the big one is that when we eat complex foods, there are a number of hormones that get secreted in our gut, and they communicate with the brain and say, hey, you took enough. There are several of those, some well-known like leptin. And the other ones that are now very popular, like GLP-1 agonists, these are those medications used for diabetes and obesity treatment. We naturally secrete those compounds, but they last a very short period of time. And so when you eat something that is so refined, by the time the body recognizes, the brain recognizes that, hey, that's plenty of calories already. The signal comes too late. We already took, a lot of calories. And then when the signal comes, eventually we'll stop eating. Fortunately, these such events do not happen all the time. There is one Halloween, there are birthday parties, there are, weddings and other celebrations. So the problem is if we continue doing that on a regular basis, that's what is challenging for our society.
How important is that connection between our brain and gut when it comes to our overall health?
That's an excellent question, and that speaks more about chronic effects of our nutrition, what we eat. So brain constantly communicates with every organ system, with all the organ systems in the body, and has particular communication with the gut through so-called autonomic nervous system, through vagal nerve. But there is this communication goes the other way. The gut communicates with the brain. And in fact, now we understand that the more diverse microbes in the gut we have, the healthier ecosystem of these gut bacteria and microbes we have, the better brain function we have. And to ensure that richness and health and biodiversity of our gut microbes, we need to provide them with diverse types of dietary fiber. This is the food and microbes use that we cannot digest. So it's a really symbiotic relationship. We depend on them, they depend on us. And so in that process of metabolizing fiber, those microbes release compounds, and often some of those are pure neurotransmitters that go back through the vagal nerve and affect our brain function. So we can affect the gut by, level of stress and practice of stress reduction techniques like meditation, yoga, mindfulness. That impacts the health of our gut, and through the diet, our health of our microbes impact our brain health, brain wellness.
We're talking about candy, why we crave it, and what we're buying most. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Liz, I want to come back to you. What are the consumer trends when it comes to candy? I mean, for me, chocolate's always my number one, despite what Dr. Gulewicz just said. But it seems like a lot of younger people like the kind of gummy, sour stuff. What are the trends you're seeing?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Gen Z is really getting into like gummies, sour candy, things like that, even some better for you brands, and anything that like is big on social media. Like if something goes viral on TikTok, for example, they'd be more inclined to buy something like that.
Wow, are you seeing a lot of that? A lot of TikTok videos about specific types of candy?
Yeah, one that comes to mind particularly was there's a peelable gummy where it's kind of unique. It's could be banana or mango shaped, and you peel the gummy and then you peel the outside of it and you can eat the inside and you can also eat the outside. So there was one brand in particular that had that, but it was Walgreens for their private label that actually went kind of viral for that.
A peelable gummy. I guess I'm not on TikTok. I've never heard of such a thing. That's wild. What about these? One of our technical director here sent me this article about these nerds that are like spherical nerd things. Has that become big, Liz?
Yeah, I think I read that article. So there's a brand by Ferrara, and it's called Nerds Gummy Clusters. So I'm sure you've heard of Nerds. They've been around forever. So the gummy clusters, which I actually just had some yesterday, it's like a gummy, but they've kind of placed the nerds on the outside of it. So it's like an interesting eating experience, I would say.
Huh. It looks like something you'd see under a microscope, kind of, but more colorful. I mean, to me.
Yeah, yep, I could see that.
Yeah. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our discussion about candy, why we crave it, and what consumers in the U.S. are buying most. My guests are UC Health's Osher Center for Integrative Health Medical Director, Dr. Mladen Golobic, and Candy Industry Magazine Senior Editor, Liz Parker Kuhn. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at WVXU.org. Dr. Golobic, before our break, Liz was talking about these social media trends that can make a type of candy go viral. There was a TikTok trend a few years ago, I think it was in 2021, that recommended eating sour candy to treat anxiety. Can something like that distract your brain to make you less anxious about things?
I do not know the answer to that. Possibly. But I think there is a large component of, you know, belief and almost placebo effect to that.
Okay.
But what really matters, you know, we are talking about candy and kind of focusing on the sugar. It's the quality of overall diet. Yeah. And even lifestyle. You know, we are craving sweets if we didn't sleep enough. You know, we would, our cravings would be different if we exercised or didn't exercise. Yeah. So the level of stress determines that. Yeah. So anxiety can be relieved with food. We know that often people find those comfort foods. Yeah. If, you know, usually we're anxious because we are not comfortable. And so we are looking for some of those comfort foods. And those are the ones that will give us really the most immediate response. So besides the sugar, yeah, which is just one component of what we eat, what is really important in those candies are other ingredients. Often there are, you know, those ultra-processed ingredients, artificial colors and flavors that probably have much more negative effect on our bodies on the long run, and especially young developing brains, than, you know, sugar by itself. That we evolutionarily know, you know, how to handle. So, and those are the things that are very difficult to pinpoint and to link them to certain, you know, conditions, because those effects are subtle. They usually occur over many, many years. And at the beginning, we were talking, you were mentioning the difference between US and Europe. And so, you know, down there is this idea of precautionary principle. If something that you usually use in varnish or cosmetics finds its way to the food, you probably said, let's don't use this. And we have opposite approach. We said, you know, as long as we doesn't cause any problem, we'll continue using it. So I think that is the issue that we need to also pay attention. So overall quality of diet, lifestyle, when do we eat those sweets? Yeah, do we eat them on empty stomach or do we eat them after we ate something nutritious? So those would be the things to kind of pay attention when you decide which candies to buy or to use. Read those ingredients and try to get those that have the least ingredients, those that have natural sweeteners like honey or maple syrup, yeah? So those would be the tips. Yes, let's enjoy candy. Let's savor it. Let's, have a celebration of the holiday. But at the same time, let's try to do as best as we can.
Okay. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for your call. What's your question?
Hi. I try to avoid foods that have a high glycemic index. But I'm wondering whether there's emerging evidence that if you take medicines that some people use for diabetes, like metformin or Ozempic, it may be a way to protect against sugar surges that could have end organ damage in the long run and prevent morbidity and mortality. I'm wondering whether the doctor can comment on that.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. What do you think about that?
So glycemic index basically defines how fast and how high there is increase in sugar in the blood after we have eaten certain foods. Like, you know, pure sugar would have index 100, and then if you would eat white rice, would be closer to 100, brown rice would be 50. So it makes a big difference whether the food causes these high spikes. Now, what Kevin mentioned was certain medications that lower blood sugar, like metformin. As far as I'm aware, those are very beneficial both for weight loss and for blood sugar control. And different diabetic medications have different mechanisms of action. Some, work directly on the insulin signaling, some work more on the downstream effects. I do not see any risk factors by, taking those medications, but clearly what we need to do is to focus on foods that have low glycemic index, but even more is this glycemic load. Yeah. If you have eaten some, wholesome meal, and then you take some of high glycemic foods like candy, it has a different effect than if you do this on empty stomach. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for that call, Kevin. We sure appreciate it. Liz, we were talking about candy trends, kind of what younger people are going for with candy versus older people like me. What about retro candy? Or is any of that making a comeback? One of my colleagues brought candy cigarettes to a work party the other day and people went nuts for it. But I don't know if that's just public radio people or if that kind of retro candy is gaining in popularity again.
Yeah, I would say retro candy and also nostalgic candy. People in my age group, millennials, really go nuts over that. So there's a company that actually brought back Altoids Sours recently, but because it's not the Altoids company, they're marketing it a different way, but that recently came back. And then I actually just got a pitch today that Cream Savers is back. They were wondering if they could talk to me about that.
Cream Savers? Man, I haven't heard that in a million years.
Yeah, that was, I remember seeing those on the shelves when I was a kid, actually, so that's rather exciting.
Yeah, wow. So, Dr. Golubic, you talked about this a little bit before, but, considering these consumer trends, I wonder if you're going to have candy, are there candies that are better for you than others? And I know you mentioned look at the labels, look at the ingredients, pick things that are made with maple syrup or honey, but not all of us do that, obviously. So I'm wondering, is a gummy candy better in general than chocolate? Or how these candies aren't created equal. What should you look for if you're in the candy aisle and you're trying to grab something that isn't the worst for you?
Yeah, I think that's right. We would look into these natural sweeteners, the least ingredients, some of those that you cannot pronounce. It's better to choose the ones that have ingredients that you can read and you can pronounce. You mentioned chocolate. Yeah, dark chocolate is a wonderful choice. Even milk chocolate. Candies that would have some nuts or dry fruits. Talking about high glycemic index, if you have candy that has dry apricots, glycemic index is very low compared to the one that has pure sugar. Homemade treats, that's something that we often forget. Yeah, you can prepare at home for your kids something that is, more healthy. One of the things that can include chocolate is, oatmeal cookies with chocolate. And you can engage kids into preparing. They might be excited about having this and sharing with their friends. The other thing that it's not, by definition, candy, the type that we talk here, are those fruit and nut bars. Yeah, so that's another thing that has wholesome, whole ingredients. Making trail mixes that have some nuts and then you add some of those sweets. So in order to dilute some of those really ultra refined, heavily ultra processed ingredients.
Liz, you mentioned before this better for you category, which you and I talked about a little bit on email as preparing for this show. I had not heard it referred to in that way. Talk about that. What are these better for you candies and are they gaining in popularity?
Yes. So better for you is anything that has lower amounts of things, if that makes sense. Generally, lower amounts of sugar. For example, there's a brand called Smart Sweets, and they have lollipops that are 1 gram of sugar for 2 lollipops. And they also have gummies as well. So anything
that's
like
good, though?
They do actually. I'm not a big lollipop fan, but their gummies are actually quite good. They just sent me some samples actually. So anything that's like less sugar, less of something would be better for you.
Do those better for you brands typically use artificial sweeteners? What are they using to sweeten their candies?
So, yeah, it just depends. I mean, I've seen allulose and other artificial sweeteners before, and it just depends on the brand and what they're using.
Mm-hmm. And that the better for you, is that a term that the industry has adopted, or what? Where does that kind of branding come from?
Yes and no. So I write for Candy Industry Magazine. We're a B2B magazine, mm-hmm. meaning business to business. We're an industry magazine. So we do use that term a lot, better for you, when we're writing about candies and sweets that have that. But I would say sometimes on the packaging, brands will sometimes call that out. They might not specifically say better for you, but they'll maybe call to consumers' attention that there's only like, you know, 1 gram of sugar in this, or that it's less sugar than leading brands, things like that.
Yeah. Dr. Golobich, is that something you would direct people to look for, maybe branding that has less sugar, or is it still those artificial sweeteners that are most concerning to you?
Well, I think the more we discover about artificial sweeteners, the less appealing they are to medical community in general. Really impressive work done at Cleveland Clinic in Dr. Stan Hazen's lab produced high-quality research that shows that some of those artificial sweeteners widely used in foods and drinks actually cause insulin resistance through gut microbes, which was totally unexpected way to show that they have negative effects on our bodies. They cause troubles with our platelets, leading down the road to, you know, increased risk of cardiovascular disease, heart attack, stroke. So in those experiments that they did, actually sugar looked better than several of those artificial sweeteners. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we are in grave danger if we eat something that has artificial sweeteners. Again, it's the dose that determines the effects. Do you do this all the time, or do you do this occasionally? What is the context of your overall health, of your overall diet? All of those factors are too numerous to kind of, you know, connect one to the other. But I think we should be really careful with just going wild, you know, from one camp to the other.
Dr. Golobich, what is the healthiest way to approach candy with kids? You were talking about other kind of sweet treats you can make with your children, but, you know, Halloween is candy day for most kids. What do you recommend to parents so that they have a healthy approach, but also just a healthy relationship with food with their kids?
Well, we have two, and they are super excited. You know, they would bring the candies home, and they would sort them into different categories. You know, this one I'm holding for myself. This one goes back to school. This one my friend likes. So just allowing them to participate in choosing their treats, you know, it's a wonderful idea. I think doing something that would help them understand, you know, establishing those guidelines that, yes, you know, today is Halloween and that's okay. You know, you might not feel the best tomorrow, but this is just for those special occasions, that this is not something that when you feel like hungry or you know, unhappy or stressed, that you would then just go and say, okay, I'll do that. And healthier alternatives. I think the more we include our kids into meal preparations, the more they are skilled, you know, when they see that you can take the chocolate, mix it with the tofu and create something that is delicious, yeah, the less they'll be craving those other things.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with UC Health's Osher Center for Integrative Health Medical Director, Dr. Mladen Golobich, and Candy Industry Magazine Senior Editor, Liz Parker-Kuhn. Thank you both so much for your time today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical directors are Ella Rowan and Stephen Baum. And Ella Rowan is responsible for our spooky Halloween theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening, and happy Halloween.